Hello, everyone. Welcome to our call today, our training today. I love this training topic because it's all about impacting your bottom line. It's all about making more revenue. Yeah, that's right. Today we're talking all about how to use three growth levers, as I call them, to accelerate your revenues, how to make more money faster. And, you know, there's so many things that we can do when it comes to growing our business. There's so many options that I find a lot of my clients, when I'm talking to them, they get confused and they go down rabbit holes and they kind of find their way into all sorts of different things that really are almost delaying them from growing their business. You know, whether you're, you know, saying, oh, I should learn how to speak, or I should blog, or I should, you know, do Facebook Lives, or, you know, there's just so many marketing choices out there. And it's crazy, but it actually can almost be a detriment to growth. So that's what we're talking about today, is really how to grow more succinctly, but, you know, where do you begin and what truly are the high-yield activities? I'm always talking about, you know, find your high-yield activities and do more of those. And the rest of the things are just distractions. I made a Facebook post the other day about eliminating distractions. And when we eliminate the distractions, that's one way that we can obviously really escalate and increase our growth. So if you feel like you've been kind of spinning your wheels, doing a lot of stuff, but not getting the results, you are absolutely in the right place today, because we're going to help you discover how, what to focus on. What are the three key things you should focus on? You only need a few of them, and you don't have to do all three. If you just did one or two of them, you will find some immediate revenue growth. That's my promise today, is that, you know, you might be able to double or more your revenue results. So that's what we're talking all about today. So if you're joining us, or as you join us, I can see we've got people coming on the phone lines and also people on the web call. I love it. I'll give you two options to dial in. Please, just to let you know, at the end of the brief training, short training, probably about 20 or 30 minutes at the most, we'll move into Q&A. And this is where you can ask me anything about growing your business, absolutely anything, whether it's building your team or marketing or sales or, you know, whatever you're challenged with. So start thinking about what questions you want to put forth. What are you stuck on? Where are you stumbling on? What choices do you have? What's working? What's not working? Think of those, and that might help you come up with some good questions. You can start by posting them in the chat box, in the question box, I guess. There's a Q&A and a chat box. And if you're on the phones, it's simple. You can just press star 2, and that will raise your hand, and I will know that you have a question, and we'll put you in the sequence. So that's how we get going on that. And also, I want to introduce Megan. Megan's my trusty assistant. Whoops, my microphone got wanged out there. Megan, say hello and let me know.
Hi, everyone.
Sorry. I've got so many things up on my computer. I'm trying to find the chat box myself, actually. So Megan's got some comments in there. So say hello and introduce yourself, and tell us where you're from. I'd love to know where people are coming from. Okay? All righty. Okay. So let's get in back. I got to flip over too many things up on my screen today. Boy, you know, and that, actually, that's a good metaphor. Have you ever done this? I'm sure everyone here has at one time. I can't be the only one in the world that does this. Is, you know, you have like 1,800 tabs. Okay, I'm exaggerating a bit, but you have, like, you know, maybe 15 tabs or 20 tabs open on your browser, and it's like that in marketing. We sometimes have so many things going on. You have so many tabs opened, and none of them, you know, you kind of think, oh, this is what I do when I open up all these tabs, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to go back and read that later. I don't want to close that down. I'll hang on to that, you know, and so I land up keeping all these things open because I think I'm going to get back to them later on. And when we market ourselves, or, you know, we think about options about how we can grow our business, we often do that. We think, oh, well, I'll finish that ebook later, or I'll listen to that webinar later, or I'll finish writing that, you know, post later, or I'm going to work on that later. And sooner or later, like quite literally sooner or later, you end up with so many things on your desktop of options that you could do. And really, that's what I'm talking all about today, is how we can strip those down and really figure out what are the two or three things that will give you the biggest bang for your buck. So you're probably wondering, who am I? Some of you know me really well, and some of you probably don't know who the heck I am, and you've just kind of found your way here today, and I'm glad that you did, through various means of emails and ads and Facebook posts, etc. I'm Sue Clement, and I like to call myself your business acceleration expert. I help entrepreneurs think and grow like a seven-figure CEO. And, you know, it's funny, just yesterday I was challenged by someone on LinkedIn, and they said, well, why would you want to think like a CEO? And so I thought, well, that's interesting. I guess it depends on what you think about what a CEO thinks of. And when I talk about thinking and growing like a CEO, what I'm bringing to the light is, as entrepreneurs, we often fall into that entrepreneurial trap where we are the business and we're kind of just almost owning a job. And when I think like a CEO, it's really about thinking of the business separate from yourself. It's a way to think of your business differently and really recognize that the business is an identity that you're responsible for and how to grow that more successfully, how to grow that bigger. So that's what I'm talking about that. And, you know, why I'm passionate about that is that, you know, when I started my first company, this is not my first company. I've been coaching for 20 years. But when I started my first company, it was an employment agency. And I grew it from startup to $5.2 million and then sold the company. And, you know, during that generation of being that solopreneur to actually having a multimillion-dollar business and having a team of employees working for me, there was quite a growth and evolution. And that's what I'm really passionate about, is helping business owners elevate their success so that they can have whatever level of success, whether you're going for that magical seven-figure plus or whether you're just trying to hit that, you know, half-million mark or 100,000 or 250 or whatever the number is. But wherever you're trying to get to, I want to help you get there faster. So that's who I am, a little bit about me. And so let's jump into our training today. And once again, I'm going to remind you, don't forget to post your questions and get into the queue, because I can't wait to be put on the hot seat and give you a hand and get some of you on the call for coaching. So once again, we want to cut through the noise, find the shortest path to revenues, and I'm talking about growth levers. And, you know, there's a great saying, little hinges swing big doors. Little hinges swing big doors. And it's true. You might have a massive door. I remember years ago, I actually, in Alberta where I grew up, I used to sail, like in sailboats. And I worked at the scout camp. It was a sailing camp for the scouts. And they had this huge boathouse, like monster big thing. It was like the size of a barn. And they had this big door, and it would just slide back and forth. And it was amazing how such a big door really took such little effort to open. And it's because it had hinges. And it's crazy how these little hinges would support the weight of the door. It would make life so much easier. And so really that's what I'm talking about when I talk about growth levers, or what are the hinges? What are the little things you can do? The little things you can do that will give you the biggest impact. That's what it is. It's not about going out and doing more. It's not about consuming your efforts and your time and learning more. It's really just about making some small shifts in your thinking and in your activities that will make the biggest bang for the buck. So let's go into the three key levers that I think are most significant if you want to dramatically increase your revenue are these. Number one is leads. If you focus your efforts every day, your marketing efforts should be about improving your leads. Now, this is a debate. A lot of people think that they just need quantity of leads. And I'm here to tell you that, yeah, you can go for quantity of leads, but that takes more effort and time. Remember, I'm all about finding the fastest path to cash, the fastest path to your revenue growth. So it isn't about getting more leads. It's really about getting better quality leads. And that was one of the topics we talked about last week, is how to get better quality leads faster or easier. And we talked about some visibility strategies that would help you get the leads. But really what I want to kind of dig down from a different perspective of lead gen is really to help you think about quality of leads. So it's not like you want to get hundreds more. It's like you want to get maybe the same amount or even less. Wouldn't it be great to need less leads but have them sell? Have them sell through, have them convert. Say hallelujah. Type in hell yes in the comments if you're on the on the chat line, because yeah, absolutely, you know, hell yes, you know, we definitely want better quality leads, and to be able to make the same money with less leads, wouldn't that be a blessing? So, you know, that's really what we want to make sure that we're doing is to leverage that. So how do we get better quality leads? Well, it all starts with you. Number one, you need to know who you're trying to attract. Because the more specific you are with that, I know, you know, this is, we keep coming back to this. I don't think I can speak on anything without somehow weaving this into it, because this is the number one biggest problem that small business owners have, is that they're not specific enough. They might kind of, oh, I have an avatar, you know, that's great, whoopee. But really, do you absolutely understand who it is that you're trying to attract? Have you really done the work to know who is your best client? Not like just, well, they're entrepreneurs or they're B2B people. Like, you really want to understand who they are. And the more effort and time you do at getting to fine-tune that and specifically narrow it down, that will help you improve the quality of leads. And once you do that, number two is you need to go hang out where they do. I think I called a couple weeks back, Megan. We were talking about that with, was it Janine? She was trying to attract a new target market, a new clientele. And one of the things is you need to figure out where they go. Where do they hang out? And then you go hang out there too. Or where do they hang out? And then whoever they hang out with, get to know that person. Befriend that person so that you can have a joint alliance or maybe a referral partner, a referral relationship. So really, you need to hang out where they do, where they are. And then number three is you need to have a well-defined, crafted offer. See, if you want to attract leads, you need to be able to attract them with a great offer. And this is kind of one of the second biggest problems I think that small businesses have. They don't know how, first, number one was they don't really have their, you know, clearly defined who it is that they're trying to attract. They're trying to get anyone who will pay them, which is not going to help. And then number two, they don't know how to describe their marketing message in that compelling way. Their offer isn't packaged together well enough to attract the attention of their ideal prospects. And so when you have a well-crafted offer, you will attract people. I mean, you know, when you think about it, I love hummingbirds because they're so unique. They're so unusual. And in Alberta, you rarely see hummingbirds. You would now and again, but not very often. But Vancouver, they're way more abundant. But here's the thing is, you know, you can put some flowers out and never get a hummingbird. But if you put the right flower out, you'll have masses of hummingbirds. And so the same thing with your ideal clients, with getting leads. If you have the right offer, if your offer is descriptive enough, compelling enough, you will attract the quality leads, not just any lead. And that's what we're trying to do. Number four in this about how to get more quality leads is to be prolific at content creation. You have to beat your drum loud and far. People need to know, hear you, be visible. We talked all about visibility last week, is that you have to be prolific about content. You can't make a post here and a post there and, like, you know, a couple random things, send an email out maybe once a quarter, or, you know, do a blog or do a pod. You can't do your marketing inconsistently. You have to create content, and the content has to speak specifically to the quality of lead that you're trying to attract, talking about the problems that they're interested in, and then offering your solutions. They're talking about the solutions and the benefits of your solutions. That is one of the best ways to up-level the quality of your leads, is being more prolific with content, but not just any content. Just don't throw it out there. Be strategic and provide quality content. And then the fourth one, I mean, this is number five, sorry. The fifth way to up-level your leads is to pre-sell them. And you pre-sell them with the content and with engagement. And so when we actually share solutions, when we provide, you know, free content, whether you're – and content, we can – like content, there's dozens of ways. And you find the way that works for you, whether it is a Facebook Live or whether it's YouTube videos or whether it's blogs or podcasts or vlogs,
video logs, whether it's email marketing, you know, whether it's Facebook posting, LinkedIn posting, Instagram. Like, there's lots of different ways that you can share content out there, whether you do ebooks, free downloads off your website. Like, it's numerous. You don't have to do them all, though. This is the thing, is understand what's consumable from your ideal client. So everything keeps going back to that. Who do you want to attract? Who are the quality prospects, quality leads that you're trying to attract, and then sing in their tune, sing to their song. You know, go where they go. Deliver the content in a way that they want to consume it. And if you're not sure, start asking people. Really? Just not any people. Start asking your ideal prospects. Go to your best clients and ask them. Do a survey with them. One of my buddies just put a post out, you know, about sales calls. Do you like video or phone? And that was interesting. He got a huge number of responses, and all of those people then kind of raised their hand. Now he has someone to go out and dialogue with. That's one way to attract. That's engagement. Facebook engagement is a great way to attract quality leads. You're attracting not just any lead. If you have the right type of engagement, you're going to be, once again, attracting, like the hummingbird flower. Put the right flower out there, you get the right hummingbird, right? You're not going to get a sparrow or a crow. You want the hummingbird. So make sure that you put the food out for the right lead. And that's what we need to do when we think about how to create more quality leads, not quantity leads, but quality leads. That's one of the biggest impact that you can do, is making sure that you're in sequence with who it is you're trying to attract. So that's lever number one, is really focus on, drill down, invest time, sit by yourself and noodle out ideas, get with a friend, get a coach, but get really strategic about getting leads. Don't run around to a whole bunch of networking events, and not that we can in today's world right now, but online, you can get on every Zoom call every minute, has something happening. So don't worry about being action. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. So invest some time to be strategic. Figure out who it is you're trying to attract. Hang out where they hang out. Get your offer really fine-tuned. You know, when you have a compelling offer, that's one of the easiest ways to attract more leads. Be prolific with your content, be consistent with it, and have a message that resonates for who it is you're trying to attract. And then, of course, work at pre-selling them by your content and also by engaging them through social media marketing, because social media marketing is really the direct outreach that you want to get involved with. And I'm going to pause here, take a sip of my water, and Megan, I'll speak really slow so I can wake you up there. Not that I need to, but I always surprise you with my questions. I'm going to throw it out to you to say, how are things going in the chat? And do you have any thoughts?
The chat's good. I see there's a few people that have introduced themselves. I also see there's a few more that haven't, so definitely if they want to introduce themselves, that's great. But, you know, I loved what you said when you said little hinges swing big doors. You know, we get so overwhelmed in business. I love that it doesn't have to be, that even small, consistent changes can make a difference.
Oh, they do. They do. And that's the thing, is I think as entrepreneurs, we often fall into the trap of thinking we have to do big stuff and lots of stuff. But, what I'm teaching today is do less and do it deeper, do more finesse with it. And so it's easier. I mean, like, wouldn't you love to make the same amount of money? This is the bottom line here. Wouldn't we love to make the same amount of money with less people, like with less sales calls? Wouldn't you love it if you could, you know, need less leads because they're quality leads and you could convert better? Just having better quality leads and doing some pre-sale work will absolutely help you convert better. So that's the goal. All right, ready for number two, everyone? Okay, here we go. Number two, and this is my favorite. And I know I will let you warn you, there's a little bit of math in this, so don't roll your eyes, everyone, but actually this truly is my favorite. One of the fastest ways to increase your revenue is through pricing. And, you know, I really am not an accounting person, but I absolutely love numbers. In a sense, when we're talking about revenue numbers, and actually even beyond revenue numbers, even what's more exciting is profit numbers. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't think so much about profit. we just think about how much money's in the bank, and that isn't always profit. So I'm going to kind of share with you some ideas about how pricing can instantly elevate not only your revenues, but more importantly, your profit. Because, you know, and this is a little backstory here, is I've often put the survey out. I've done this several times. Every now and again, I'll kind of throw it out there, is what would you like of more sales, more clients, more revenue, more profit? And without doubt, usually more clients is the number one answer. And I'm kind of wanting to let you know that it's really not about the clients, because more clients doesn't always mean more money. And more sales is not the same as revenue. It's kind of similar, but not really. But more profit is really, profit is king. You know, so are they, what do they say, cash is king? Same kind of point of view. So I'm going to share with you some pricing strategies that will help you really instantly impact your bottom line, because I think it's exciting. So the goal here is to increase the cash value of each client without incurring increased expenses. That's the fastest way that you can make more profit. And so here's a little simple example. I'm going to prove to you that most of you can go out and do this. Now, I recognize that if you have pricing, fixed pricing, like if you are like an insurance agent, for example, or a real estate agent, you obviously don't have control over your rates. But if you have control over your rates, then this is something that I want you to stay open to. And it's funny, this always cracks me up because I often will share this information with my clients, like, hey, let's make some more money. We could do this, this, and this. And I come up with some pricing structures for them and strategies for them. And I tend to get a lot of pushback. And it's almost like, oh, my God, I can't charge that much. So then we get into a mindset and worthiness issue, which I'm not going to dive in today, but that could come up for you. And that's what I find. Or people are they're just fearful. They're afraid. It's like, if I raise my rates, I'll lose my clients. And the fact of the matter is, I've seen this done dozens and dozens of times. I've experienced it myself, but with my clients, quite literally dozens of clients, hundreds of clients have increased their rates with my guidance. And the crazy thing is, it didn't really impact their clients. Like, the clients didn't leave them because the rate went up. They didn't sell less business. You know, their close ratio remained the same. Just because they're quoting a higher rate to new prospects, they didn't lose business. So it's really interesting how it's more of an inner game than an outer game on this one. So just kind of work with me on this, and I want to share with you some ideas. So let's say, for example, here's an example. Let's say you sell something for $1,000, okay, whether it's a program or, you know, if you're a coaching program or a package or, you know, some of your services you sell for $1,000. And let's just say your expenses are $800. That's you paying yourself and, you know, all proportionately your business expenses go to that. And so the profit would be, obviously, $1,000 minus $800 for expenses. The profit at the end of the day would be $200. So here's the deal. If we went back to that $1,000 and say, well, why don't we increase our rates by 20%? So instead of charging $1,000, I'll go charge $1,200. Not a huge amount of difference, really. So I go out and charge $1,200. The expenses are still $800, right? So the profit increases from $200 to $400. So right there, you've actually doubled your profit or had 100% increase in profitability on that one client. And even if you felt that 20% was too much to raise and you only wanted to raise them by 100, so instead of selling at 1,000, you sold it at 1,100, right off the bat, you're making $100 more profit. And you know the beautiful thing about that is you didn't have to do any more work. You didn't have to do anything else. You didn't have to send another phone, make another phone call or do another email or sell one more thing. You didn't have to do anything more. You just had to do what you normally do, and you almost doubled. And in some cases, some of my clients have actually done more than doubled their profitability. So it's really amazing when we really fine-tune and get the pencils out, get the paper out, and start working the numbers, how you can shift your revenue stream, but more importantly, your profit stream, by shifting, by increasing your rates. That's one of the simplest things you can do. You could start today. The next prospect, I'm not even saying about going back to your existing clients and suddenly raising the rates on your existing clients. You can choose to do that. But I'm like, even like the next client you talk to, the next person you bring on board, what would it be like if you just raised your rates? 100, 200, 500, depends on obviously percentage of what you're selling, but just raised your rates and then know that that extra little bump was pure profit. Wouldn't that be exciting? Think of how that could impact you. And I want to share with you, and it doesn't have to be a big number. In my employment agency, as you may know, I sold temporary staffing. Well, I did perm as well, but we primarily were based temporary staffing. So I had hundreds of people, and I would dispatch them to warehouses and factories and offices, and we'd send people out working every day. And so how that industry works is you pay the employee, because you own, I shouldn't say own, but the employee was my employee, and I kind of loaned them out to a client, right? So I would pay the employee one rate, and I'd bill the client a higher rate, obviously, and the difference of those two rates would be my gross profit, and at the end of the day after expenses would be my net profit. So here's the thing. I used to say that I had a penny business, because when I dispatch people to work, I trained my staff is that when we did our pricing, we were extremely shrewd about our numbers. So, for example, we never charged the client $20 an hour. We would charge them like $20.07 an hour, right? Or instead of $11.50, they would be charged $11.53. I always had some little wonky numbers. We would always take a good number and then up it by pennies. All right? So sometimes we might do it by 7 cents, sometimes it could be by 3 cents, but we'd always never land on a square number. In other words, like, you know, 12.25 or 18.50, or we'd never land on a square number. We'd always up it by a few pennies. And on the flip side, when we came to paying our employees, we did the opposite. Instead of upping it by a few pennies, we downed it by a few pennies. So instead of charging someone, or pardon me, paying someone $15 an hour, we would pay them $14.97, 3 cents, right? Instead of paying someone, you know, $18.50, we would pay them $18.46, 4 cents. So what was really cool with this is the split would be 3, 4, 5 cents. We would make an extra nickel per hour. Now, when we were staffing 20,000 hours a week. Yes, we were a big company, so we had lots of people working for us. That actually yielded me in $1,000. If I even just said the split was 5 cents between the difference of a couple pennies up for the pay, a couple pennies down for, pardon me, down for the pay and up for the client, those few pennies would yield me more than $1,000 a week, which would be $52,000 a year. And the beautiful thing about that is that $1,000 a week more that I was making, we didn't have to send anyone new. We didn't have to do anything else. We didn't have to answer one more phone call. We didn't have to interview one more person. We didn't have to dispatch one person for the job. We didn't have to do quality control calls for one more person. It was the same level of work, and right off the bat, $52,000 a year. And actually, in real life, it was even more than that. So that's what I just want to put forth on you is those little pennies add up. Little hinges swing big doors. It can be a nickel business. It can be a 10-cent business. It can be a $10 business, depending upon your volume and the nature of your business. I know everyone on this call and everyone listening in later on has different types of businesses. But I just want to inspire you that when we look at our pricing and we squeeze out the margin, it comes back to us as pure profit. And that pure profit is remarkable because there's no more labor, no more expense tied to that. And I don't know, I'm hoping everyone's excited by this. Because you can, I hope you can tell I'm real excited by this. So if you're in the chat and you're excited by this, please say so. I want to make sure my message is getting across to everyone, because it truly is remarkably exciting when you think about that, how much you can double your profit and absolutely make a huge impact on your business. right? So type in the comments if you, this is resonating for you, and you're seeing some ways that you can actually shift your pricing. So whether it's a penny business that you got, whether you can nudge it by pennies or whether you're nudging it by tens of dollars or hundreds of dollars, I just want to put this across, is the fastest way to increase your revenues without fail is to look at your pricing structure. Now, there's other things you can do with pricing as well. You can upsell, cross-sell, and downsell. And I don't want to get too confusing with all of this today, but, you know, when we think about when a client buys one thing from us, we can stop and contemplate what else could we sell them that would be valuable to them, that would impact them positively, and would make sense. And then go do that. So often, you know, we have a client and we think, well, that's good enough. I heard my husband's voice in my head because he had a business, and we often had different perspectives about his business because he always said, well, that's good enough with pricing. He'd always go, oh, that's good enough. And I'm going, you could get a quarter more. And, you know, he was selling promotional products, so he would be selling things like pens and coffee mugs and baseball caps and jackets and that. And so when a client's ordering like 1,000 hats, and I'm like going, you could get a nickel more. Because when you think about it, 1,000 nickels add up. But, you know, he always said that's good enough. So don't pick up on his vibe, pick up on my vibe. But, you know, when we think about this, so if a client's buying one thing, what else could they buy? So an upsell is when your client's coming to you and they're buying like an entry-level thing. Maybe they're just buying, if you're selling, you know, I see that Doreen's on the call. Doreen does health and wellness product. You know, I'll just keep this vague and broad. Don't want to pinpoint you too much. But if you're selling, you know, your time, you're a healthcare professional. You're selling at 1 hour. So instead of selling 1 hour, how can you package it so they buy bigger? You know, can you upsell them into a bigger package? Maybe you could have 3 hours. Or, you know, 3 months or whatever. I had a spiritual advisor as a client, and she was selling her time, you know, one session at a time. Now, when she came to me, her price was $90 an hour, and I'm like going, that's way too low. So we were able to get her to nudge her price up to $125 an hour. So right off the bat, there's a, like, $90 to $125, that's like $35. That is a 30% increase in rates. So right off the bat, she was making 30% more, which is great. But then I'm like going, well, people buy 1 hour at a time, and to me that's churn and burn. If you're always looking for that next client, if you're only selling 1 hour at a time, like, you need a lot of clients every week to make some substantial money. So what I had to do was take a more of a coaching model than a 1 hour at a time, you know, spiritual healer model. And instead, because I asked her, I said, do your clients come back? Yes, they do. Do they come back consistently? Well, not really. They, you know, they could come back a month later or 6 months later. I'm like, could your clients value more time with you? Absolutely. So knowing that, I'm like going, well, why don't we help them value more time with you by giving them a package that would do that? So we changed her whole pricing structure around, and we were able to have her shift her revenues from, you know, a very small amount, like five times or six times her revenues, because she started selling packages. She was adding more value to the clients and getting them back into her seeing her more frequently. So when you think about that, is how can you upsell your client from a current package to maybe something a little bit bigger, something that would serve them better, something that would keep them with you longer? Those are some options for you. A downsell would be something like if you bought a blender, you know, you buy one of those fancy Ninja blenders, right? Or what? I can't remember the other one. Anyways, the ones that all the chefs use on the cooking shows, Vitamix. Is that it? Anyways, you buy this fancy blender for a couple $100. Well, guess what? You need the recipe book. That's a downsell. So I might spend a few $100 on the blender, but I'll go out and spend $20 more for the recipe book. So there's ways of thinking about that. So what big packages do you sell your clients, and what's a smaller sale that would just be like a, I shouldn't say a no-brainer, but would be an easy sell for them? So maybe it's like another 10 or 50 or 7 or whatever dollar sale that you can add into it that adds value. It seems like a good fit. It's natural, and the client's willing. They've got their credit card out once. Let's just put this other thing through for them. So that's another way that you can increase the dollar value per the cash value per each client. All right, so you can see I'm really excited about pricing, and I hope that I've inspired you to think about that, how you can upsell, downsell, cross-sell. I didn't mention that. Cross-sell is when they buy one thing, but there's a companion thing that goes with it. So think about how you can modify your pricing and what impact that can do. All right, so let's move on to lever number three before I go too crazy with the numbers. Lever number three. Now, this is also an interesting one, and that is simply, let me just go back. We've gotten better quality of leads. We've gotten we've gone for quality, not quantity. So we might have even less number of leads, but they're better quality. And that will help you with lever number three, which is increase the percentage of your sales conversion. So here's the thing, is that when you get better at selling, you will sell more and you'll close more. So if we can close a higher percentage right off the bat, that's greatly impacted the amount of revenue that we're bringing into the business. And let's say, for example, you sell a $5,000 program or package or client services, whatever it is. And if you only close 1 in 10 prospects, you have to do 10 sales calls to get one person to buy. Now, flip that around, and if you were just to increase your capability of closing, so instead of closing 10%, let's say you increased it by 10%, so you're now closing 20%, and you close 2 out of 10 sales calls, you've just doubled your revenue without any more effort. Imagine that. So that points the needle to you to how do you close sales more efficiently or more effectively. And part of that, I hope you can see where I'm looping this back around to, it all starts with the quality of your leads. So if you focus on the quality of your leads and do the things that I mentioned, and one of them was to pre-sell them by having excellent content, so the people who are attracted to you are the people... Sorry about that. That's Bruce calling me. Those are my husband. Sorry, guys. It's a little bit distracting there. So I really lost my thought. My husband's in a long-term care facility, so he doesn't phone me often. So when he does, it's a big deal. So sorry if I'm kind of rattled on that one. Anyways, so if you have better quality leads and you've pre-sold them with great content, your close ratios will increase and improve. And when they increase and improve, that dramatically hits your bottom line. So you can see that all of the three strategies that I put forth in the sense of how to get better quality of leads doesn't take any more real work. It just takes what you're currently doing it better. Increasing your pricing, once again, the pricing doesn't take any more work. It's working with what you have and impacting your bottom line. And then finally, working on your sales conversion. Now, we could have a whole call. Maybe Megan, jot that down for one of our future calls. We probably should have one just about my sales strategies for how to close more, how to close faster, and how to close easier. But when we really have good sales conversations and come from selling as a servicing perspective, not a hunting perspective, and if we've done the pre-selling work and have better quality leads, that will help you close more, and when we close more, we make more. So those are the three hinges or levers that I want to share with you today, is get better quality leads, increase your pricing structure, really package your pricing well, be shrewd about that, realize it is maybe just a penny business for you, and then work at increasing your sales conversion. And, you know, the one tip with sales, I'll just give you this because I feel like I'm incomplete if I don't share with you a sales strategy, is I mentioned selling is servicing, if you think of how you can be of service. But really, sales happen when you can listen, be curious, uncover the client's pain or the prospect's pain. I call them a prospect at this point. Uncover the prospect's pain. And then only if you truly have a clear path to help them, then show them the gap of where they are now to where they want to get to, and that you're the vehicle to get them over that gap. When you can do that, that's when you get the client. That's when they see the journey. They see you as the provider of the solution. One mistake that most people do when they sell is they sell the process. They sell the logistics, so to speak, of their business, of what they do, how many sessions they get or how many, you know, phone calls or how many whatever that you're doing. And instead, people just want the result. There's a line, don't show me the baby. No, don't show me the labor pain. Don't talk about the labor pains. Show me the baby. That's what it is. We don't want to know about the labor pains. We just want to see this cute baby. That's the end result that, in that case, they're trying to get. Not me, but they are. All right, so I'm going to pause here and sip some more water. And, Megan, I'm going to toss it back to you. And I'm just going to invite people who are on the phone line, if you are on the phone line, to press star 2. If you dialed in through your computer on the web call, I think you can press star 2 as well. I think that works. And if you're just on the broadcast, then you can just type in your question, and Megan will help us navigate that. So I'm going to sip some water. Megan, I'm going to leave it to you to kick us off. Do we have any questions in the forum, in the chat?
Yeah, absolutely. And first, I just wanted to say I think that everything you were saying about pricing is so powerful. I actually tried that based on your advice. I increased my rate with new clients, and it made a huge impact. Like, it was amazing how much that, like, I had that much extra money coming in when I got a new client. So, yeah, it absolutely works.
Great. Cool. It does. It's, and you don't have to do any more work. That's the thing I get so excited about. Okay. All right. Yeah. So toss me a question.
Okay. So there is a question here from, they haven't given their name. It says, and I guess this is along the pricing thing, it says, how do you prevent bargain clients? I find that clients are not willing to pay the proper amount for my services, and I would like to know what I can do to cut out the middlemen and find clients who are willing to buy in my price range.
So that's a challenge. Is I deal with a lot of this with my clients, is helping them to up-level the quality of their leads, and in doing that, or, you know, how to get people who are more willing to actually, pay you what you're worth. There's that kind of consideration that comes up to play, is really trying to really get better quality clients. And part of that is up to you as a professional to start having your content marketing talk to the right audience. I think that, and it's very subtle. It truly is. There's a great book, I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, Robert Caldoni, Persuasion, and also the book Influence. He wrote both of those books, Persuasion and Influence. Influence was the first book. They're kind of tough to read, but they're amazing because the nuances of it. So, for example, if I make a post, Facebook post or an article, whatever, but if my marketing content is out there saying, are you struggling to get more clients, then I'm going to get the people who are struggling to get clients. But instead, if I make a post that talks all about how to up-level your revenues, I'm going to get a different clientele. And so often it is the choices of the words and you come from when you're creating content that's speaking to the wrong person. And it makes a huge impact when we change our voice, who we attract. It's like, you know, I use the whistle, the dog whistle thing. If I blow a dog whistle, you know, Tegan's going to pop his head up and all the other dogs in the neighborhood probably. But, you know, the cats don't care. I say the cows don't either, but I don't know where I'd find a cow around here. But, you know what I mean? It's like the birds wouldn't notice it. So it's really about blowing the right whistle that's going to attract the right client. And that's one of the things, you know, we were talking about, is how to get the right clients to notice you. Well, you need to start speaking in their language. And so if you're finding that you're getting bargain clients coming to you, they're, you know, are too price sensitive, chances are your marketing communication is attracting those people. You're blowing a dog whistle and you really want a cat. And so it's really about going back and critically looking at the wording that you're putting out there and how you position your offer. What are you saying about your offer? What are you talking about the problems that you solve? Are you trying to solve too low of a problem that a broke person would be attracted to? And so if you're getting people who are bargain buyers and broke people, chances are that's your error, is that you're really having the wrong marketing message out there, aiming a little too low. So go back and look at what you're writing and see about how you can shift it, because if you're speaking to people who are broken, problem, you know, having problems and, you know, bargain hunters, that's what you're going to get. So up-level your languaging is the best way to actually up-level the results of getting a higher quality client. I hope that answered that question.
Great. And also along the lines then, Terry has a great question here in the chat. You talked about raising your rates. What's the best way to go about doing that?
That's an interesting thing, because I mean, I mentioned when I start talking about rates and pricing, a lot of my clients go, oh, I don't want to raise my rates. It's hard, you know, and it is. And it's, you know, it depends, once again, the nature of your business. But I've had some clients, you know, when they start working with me and they've had not had a rate increase to their current clients, and they've had clients who stay with them year after year after year, which we love long-term clients. But, you know, 5 years later, they're still charging a rate from 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh, you're losing money on that, because obviously your expenses have gone up. The world has changed. You're probably delivering more services. Like, you have to really keep in step with what's happening out there. So if you have not raised your rates to your existing clientele for a long time, and long time, I'll leave that for you to, you know, personally assess. But if it's been more than a year, it's time to go back to them and increase the rates. Now, if you just got a new client like a month ago, it's kind of hard to go back to them and increase the rates. So some cases, case by case, you'll have to evaluate it. And some clients, you'll have to leave where they're at. But other clients, you'll have to nudge up. And like a client who's had the same rate for 5 years should be getting, you know, when you start selling today at a higher rate, you're going to see real disparity in that. And all of a sudden, it's like, my God, I'm doing the same amount of work, but holy cow, I'm making way less money on client A, whereas this new client B is like, ooh, a nice revenue stream or profit stream. So, and it's tough. If you haven't raised your rates in 5 years, it's going to be really difficult to maybe get that client A all the way up to current rates. So you might have to do it in steps or phases. So here's the thing. For existing clients, it's about going back to the client and having a conversation. You know, I used to, with my employment agency, would change my rates every year. Every January, it was like a payday for me. That's how I looked at it as. It was an opportunity, because people in my industry, the clients I served, they all changed their rates in the new year. And so it was uncommon, for me to change my new rate in the new year. But I would never just arbitrarily do it. I'd always get on the phone with the client. It depends upon the relationship. Get on the phone with the client. I used to do service reviews frequently. So it was service reviews, a great time when you kind of write up all the things you've done for the client, and it's like, how are they happy? Are you happy with the relationship? Because it's really a two-way street. You know, you're never subservient to your clients. You should be on par with them. You're partnering with them. And you know, we'd do a service review, and at the end of the service review, it was a perfect opportunity for me to roll out the new rate. And so, you know, sometimes you have to kind of take a big gulp. You know, sometimes it's a little awkward, but if you're providing good quality service and you feel that your rates are too low and you want to elevate them, you need to be able to come to the client and share with them, you know, I really appreciate your business. We've been working together for this length of time. I love the service review. It's, you know, even if you just kind of have a little quiz with them, a short 5-minute conversation, get them to say what they like about the services. Ask them if there's anything that they'd like to see changed about your service. And then introduce the new rate. Because once someone has said how much they like you, then it's easy for them to kind of feel like if they've acknowledged that you're doing great work for them, then they're going to acknowledge that they're happy to pay you more. And, you know, so just take it on the chin, ask for the rate, make it make sense, be understanding, and do it case by case, particularly for long-term past clients, like clients you've had for a long, long time. And, you know, you want to be able to bring them up in steps if there's a big disparity. And then even for a client who's used you once and then they go away, and then they depends, once again, the nature of your business, and they come back and there's a new rate, well, there's just a new rate. Things have changed. And so, you know, it's about your confidence level. If you believe that you're providing good quality and that you are a good provider and you go the extra mile for the client, then you should have absolutely no doubt about raising your rates. So go for it, Terry. Was it Terry?
Yeah, Terry.
Good. Go for it, Terry. You can do it. I believe in you. Okay. Next question.
Okay. I've got another one here in the chat, in the Q&A. What, in your opinion, draws clients to your marketing? How can I tell clients I'm here to remedy their problems without running into cliches?
Say that again, slower.
Yeah, sure. What, in your opinion, draws clients to your marketing? How can I tell clients I'm here to remedy their problems without running into cliches?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because I'm really not quite sure about why you'd feel cliched about it. I wish that person could come on the phone line and have a conversation with us, because I don't really see the cliche in that. You need to read it one more time. I got to see these things. I should open up my chat there, but tell me, read it one more time, Megan. I feel like my
sure.
brain is not clicking in on this one.
What, in your opinion, draws clients to your marketing?
Okay, that helps. Thank you. What draws clients to your marketing? Being able to clearly understand what their biggest dreams are and pains are, and then talking about those dreams and pains in a way that they feel excited to want to get to know more about you. Because really, when you think about it, is there's two motivators. People will move for pain or move for pleasure. You know, pleasure meaning desire. What do they really desire? And so the best way to get people to move is to talk about their pains, and, you know, you'll get attract their attention, or talk about their desires. What do they want? And when people see that, they'll be attracted to you. I should just turn my phone totally off. When we think about think about attracting clients, it's really we want to be able to speak to their issues, and the better that you can speak to their issues, the better you will do in the sense of being able to to attract them. And, you know, I don't think we need cliches. I think we just need to be authentic. You know, I talked about this last week about being more authentic in our conversations, being more real. People, you know, don't want the sleazy sales pitch lines. They just want you to be able to convince them that you can solve, that you understand their needs, you understand their problems, you understand their dream, and that you have a way to help them with that. So that would be my short answer today, my distracted answer, but that's my short answer. All right. Any other questions, Megan?
Yes, there is one more right now, unless we get any new ones. So this person, actually, they're addressing. So apparently they were in the middle of rebranding their business. They had, you know, new logo, all of, website, all of that. And then, of course, COVID hit, and the world is upside down. So they said, you know, now I'm stuck in this dilemma where I don't know if I should launch my new design or if I should hold off, and wait until people are more willing to buy and pay attention. What do you suggest?
You know, I think there's no better time than the present, because if you've done the work, and it's funny, I'm kind of laughing at myself because I was in like where I was at. I was just about to go and get some pictures done in the States, but they shut down the border, so I couldn't go get new headshots and pictures for my website to catch up, to upgrade that. So I'm kind of stuck out on that one. But when we think about if you've done the work to brand your business, you know, I don't think people, it's like, once again, I don't know the industry, so it's a little bit difficult. But I think the thing is that when, you know, when we say people are willing to buy or pay attention, now, unless you're selling to consumers, then you might want to hold off if you are finding that most of your buyers would be unemployed right now, then that could be a rare situation. But I think for the mass people, I would probably say just go for it. You know, in a way, you almost have more of people's attention these days. once again, depends on what you're selling, because a lot of people are at home. They're kind of looking for things to do. That's why Zoom is like crazy. You know, everyone's on Zoom. Everyone's consuming new courses and information and training. So I don't see it. So I don't see that it's positive necessarily to hold off on that. I think go launch it, go big, and get it out there. Once again, depends on the industry, but that's kind of my perspective. Is you know, continue on with what you had planned. That's the short answer. Okay. And so be it. Any other questions? Now, if you guys are on the call, like on the phone line, let's see who's on the phone line. I've got to find my dashboard again. I keep losing the darn thing. And see, I see, actually, Elizabeth, you're on the phone line. Did you want to, or you're on a web call. Did you want to have a, do you have a question for us today you want to bring in? I can see your name. I've got some other people that don't have names. Someone from California here. But press star 2 if you want to have a conversation with me, because I'd love to be able to actually have a real conversation with somebody rather than answering questions kind of hypothetically. And I'll just give that a moment. And failing that, Megan, is there anything else in the chat that we should talk about?
Let me just take one more look here. Well, Doreen said that sales conversion would be a great topic as a future topic.
Yes, we'll do that. We'll talk about how to sell better in a future call.
But that's all the questions I have.
Okay, well, you know what? This worked out perfectly. It always does. It's not crazy. It works out perfectly because we are at the top of the hour. So we're right on time to wrap up. Let me just go back to looking at something here. Let's go back and do a quick little walkthrough review, and then we'll wrap up for this week. So today we're talking all about what are three growth levers to accelerate your revenue. So how can we increase our revenues by not doing necessarily more work, but by doing less work, but doing it better? And that's really the keys. What can we do, the fine-tuned differences that will swing the big doors for us? What are the little hinges? So the first one was, once again, about finding quality leads. And it's about knowing, you know, who you're attracting, where they hang out, really being prolific with your content creation and really speaking their song, singing their song, speaking their message. Number two is about pricing. And I hope to gosh that everyone who's hearing this will really take some time and sit down with a coffee and really look at your pricing and have a good conversation with yourself about what you can do to increase your rates so that you can have more profit faster. And it's pure profit, so I can't say it enough. And I think just about everyone probably can increase their rates seriously. It's a real thing. And number three was to work at increasing your sales conversion and recognize that if you just sold, you know, 10% more, that's pure profit. That's just like how much, like think of how, not, pardon me, that is not pure profit. I'm fudging on that one. That's pure revenue increase, like without doing any more work. So if you're not closing a high enough ratio of your customers, then you've got to stop and rework what you're doing. You know, it's like when something's working, you want to pour gas on it, light it up, and do more of it. If it's not working, it's time to stop doing it and to reevaluate it and to figure out what you need to do differently to increase your sales conversion. And that's a whole conversation unto itself. So those are the three things that we want to share today. And I also should let you know that from now on, Wednesday at 1, I know we've been kind of on the moving target each week. We've kind of picked a different time because I'm fitting this into my calendar. But moving forward, we're going to do a weekly call, at least for a while, weekly calls at 1 Pacific. So you can join us, put that on your calendar, and hope to come back and visit us again, whether you just listen in and to the training and the questions or whether you have your own questions. Please, you know, don't be shy. Post a question and have a dialogue. I'd love to get people on the call so we can get some coaching. And we'll hang out as long as we've got questions. And since we're done today, we'll wrap up. I'm Sue Clement, your Think and Grow Like a Seven-Figure CEO mentor. I'm all about helping you accelerate your growth without more effort, but get better profitability in your business. And why be neglect if I didn't mention this is that I have a Facebook group thinking it's called Roadmap to Seven Figures, and there's a button right there on the web call that you can click and come join us in the group. Anyways, thanks very much for listening in. I really appreciate that your time and your attention today. I wish you tons of success, and we'll see you here, same place, same time, next week, Wednesday at 1 p.m. Thanks, everyone. Have an awesome week. Bye now.
The moderator has left the conference.